I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to John chapter 3 for the reading of the good news. Listen carefully and follow along as we hear the scriptures. Jesus is in a conversation with Nicodemus, one of the lead Pharisees. And Jesus answered him and said, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be surprised that I said to you, you must be born anew. God's Spirit blows wherever it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. It's the same with everyone who is born of the Spirit." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, as we are born by your Spirit, unite us together in you, in one faith, one Lord, one baptism. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Come to the waters. Come to the waters of baptism and be refreshed by the living water. Come to the waters and be renewed by the water of life. Come to the waters and have your sins washed away. Come to the waters and experience the grace of God. Water has always had a place of both sacredness and fear in the course of our faith. From the primordial waters covering the earth in all its chaos at the onset of creation, to the flood-prone plains and valleys of the Promised Land, water could mean life or death. And it often meant both. It was through the flood that God purified the land and renewed creation. It was through the Red Sea that God delivered the Hebrew people, ex-slaves, and saved them from the Egyptian army. And it was through the Jordan River that God led the people from their past of wandering aimlessly into the land of flowing with milk and honey promised to them and their ancestors. And while God guided people through the wilderness from Egypt to the Promised Land, he instructed them to build the tabernacle. This was a place of worship for communing with God and for the giving of their offerings. And God instructed the priests how to ritually wash themselves so they would be pure as they entered into worship. But there were times when the people were unclean and they needed to be ritually washed and purified before they could return to the community. And through this, God laid the groundwork for declaring that God would cleanse all people of their sin. We read about this in Ezekiel 36:25 when God assured us by saying, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be cleansed of all your pollution. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your stony heart and replace it with a living one, and I will give you my spirit." And then in Joel, we read Joel 2:28 that God promises us by saying, "I will pour out my spirit upon everyone. In those days, I will also pour out my spirit on the male and female servants." And then in Isaiah 43, God declares, "I will pour out water upon the thirsty ground and streams upon dry land. I will pour out my spirit upon your descendants and my blessing upon your offspring." Then, after the Jews returned from exile and they rebuilt the temple, Many took God's word upon themselves and began this practice of ritually washing, known as mikvah, in special baths before they prayed. John the Baptist then comes along and he prepares the way for Jesus and offered a new form of ritual washing called baptism. And it was a baptism of repentance. By pouring water over people as they stood at the Jordan River, John was helping people mark a new beginning in their life. A baptism of repentance where they were showing they had a change of heart and a change of life, that they were turning from their way and turning to God's ways. And as he did this, one day, Jesus comes along and he asks John to baptize him. Yet John did not feel worthy of this. He didn't want to do it because he knew who Jesus was. He knew that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the Christ, the one who was anointed, the Son of God, who would be the perfect example of God for all people, for us, for me, and for you. And John was hesitant, but Jesus said, "To please do this, it is necessary for all righteousness." Gregory of Nazianzus, the ancient church father, wrote a beautiful essay called The Festival of the Lights. And it's about the baptism of Jesus and why his baptism was for us. That Jesus didn't need to show a change of heart or a change of life. He didn't need forgiveness because he was already perfect and sinless and his life was one of complete devotion to God. Yet Jesus' baptism was to purify creation in another act of his redeeming work. That through baptism, Jesus purified the water in which we are baptized today. And then Jesus' baptism was the commencement of his ministry. That doing no miracles before, it was only after his baptism when Jesus received the Holy Spirit. It was then after his baptism when Jesus was equipped to fast in the wilderness for 40 days while facing temptation. It was after his baptism when Jesus was equipped and empowered to multiply the loaves and the fishes, to calm the storms, to walk on the water, and to heal the sick. And it was through his baptism that Jesus gave us an example to follow of the full expression of God's love and power so that we could follow him and continue to do the good work in which we were created. And in our scripture today, Jesus is having this conversation with Nicodemus, and he's attempting to explain this to Nicodemus, but Nicodemus isn't yet ready to hear it. Not yet. Though Nicodemus is educated, he's a leader of leaders, a teacher of teachers, one of the highest ranking Pharisees, he's confused by Jesus' words and riddle and his play on words of again and above coming from the same Greek word. Yet more than that, Nicodemus has already made up his mind about what God can and cannot do. He has created his own personal box to fit God in, and Jesus doesn't fit in that box. Jesus is saying to be born of water is to be born of our mother's womb, that we all do. Yet to be born of the Spirit is to be born from above. To be born again, anew, is to be born spiritually. Reborn by God into the family of God as a child of God, adopted as a child of God, and then made an heir to the promises of God. That this being born again, born anew, being born from above, being born from the Spirit, is an invisible and spiritual work of God that God does inside of us when we accept Jesus into our heart and life. That we receive it when we make that decision and that profession of faith to follow Jesus for our whole life and to live for him. And baptism is the result of that decision. It's that outward and visible sign of that inward work, that inward grace that God has done for us through Jesus Christ and continues to do in us. And after his death and resurrection, Jesus told us to go and to make disciples and to baptize them. Yet this was another new baptism. It was more than a ritual washing of preparing us to enter the temple so that we could worship God. No, this was a ritual washing to make us, me and you, the temple of God. That your baptism makes you the temple of God in which God dwells. And it was more than John's baptism. It was more than a baptism of repentance. It is a baptism of forgiveness to show that we are forgiven as that outward sign of the work that Jesus had already done for us through his life, death, and resurrection. And it is that physical preparation to receive the Holy Spirit. It is the fulfilling of prophecy of God's promise where God pours out his Holy Spirit upon us, where he sprinkles us with clean water, gives us a new heart, a new life, and partners us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. That we are no longer who we were before our baptism. That person is dead. Now, through our baptism, we are made new. In the good work we did before, and the work which lays ahead of us, and the good work that we're going to do now is no longer our own, but that we are doing the ministry of Jesus Christ. We are partnered with him to be his hands and his feet. In Ephesians chapter 4, we read that through our baptism, that we become part of one body, the body of Christ, the church, and that through one Spirit, the Spirit of God, we are called together in one hope, one Lord, one faith, and that through one baptism, we are one under one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. And that's why we are here today. It's Confirmation Sunday. And we're celebrating these young three confirmands who were baptized earlier today. One was baptized when he was an infant, but they are here making their profession of faith before you. And baptism is that beautiful symbol of the water of God having done its work in their life, in all of our lives. That confirmation is an extension of the baptism we received as a child when we were too young to say the words for ourselves and to profess our faith. Our parents brought us into the church. We were baptized into the body and the family of church, and the church and our parents together promised to raise us in the faith so that one day we could make that profession of faith for ourselves and make that personal decision to follow Jesus. That's what we're doing today. And baptism is a reminder to us of when Jesus was baptized and he came up out of the water and God said to him, I love you. And now it's a reminder to us that at our baptism, God says, I love you, each and every single one of you. So if you've never been baptized, then see me after the service. I invite you to come to the waters of baptism, and let's get you baptized. But everyone else, I invite you that following the service, I invite you to dip your fingers in the baptismal waters and mark your forehead with the sign of the cross. Remember your baptism. Even if you don't remember the event, remember your baptism. Remember what it means. Remember what God has done for you through Jesus Christ. Remember your baptism and be thankful. And now we celebrate new life in Jesus Christ. We celebrate the decision to follow Jesus made by these young people, and we celebrate them becoming part of the universal church, the body of Christ throughout all of creation. And we celebrate them making vows to be members of the United Methodist Church, and specifically this church right here. So let us celebrate and give thanks to God. Amen.